pray, Lord Jesus, we ask for your presence among us, the only one who can set us free from fears into faith, to doubt into confidence. Lord, we pray for your words spoken today, that it would be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We're going to be talking about fear today and through the summer. Many of you have fears. Yeah. Maybe you like to say a fear that you have. What's a fear that we have? I'm not looking for any deep confessions here, but is there something that you're afraid of? Yes.
Not being a good grandmother.
Okay, yeah. Relationally, yeah, not being a good sibling, not being a good parent, not being a good grandmother. What are other fears that we have? Spiders, anybody? Yeah, I'm afraid of spiders.
Snakes.
Snakes was actually the top fear in 2001 in Americans. It was the top fear. More than anything else, more than dying, I'm afraid of snakes. So, snakes is a fear. Are any of you afraid of people knowing your fears? Right? Like, I don't want you to know what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of what you might think, right? Well, here's a list of the top 10 fears in America with Americans for 2016. Right. So this Chapman University did a survey. Guess what the number one fear is? I would not have guessed this. It's actually corruption of government officials. That's our number one fear. Our number one fear of Americans. Number two is a terrorist attack on our nation. Number three is not having enough money for the future. Number four, being a victim of terrorism, then gun control, then number six, loved ones dying, economic and financial collapse, identity theft, number eight, number nine, loved ones seriously ill, and number 10, Obamacare. I want to guess that one, but wow. A lot of fears, a lot of political fears that are going on right now. Fears with our nation, our safety as a nation. Surprisingly, I don't really see anything about fear of death, really. I suppose some of those things are indirectly related to that, with terrorism, things like that. But we are really fearaholics, you could say. We fear about a lot of stuff. And a lot of stuff we're afraid about isn't really worth being afraid of, is it? You know, when I was younger, I used to be afraid of monsters in the closet, you know, or witches that would come out and devour me in the middle of the night. But you know, I started to grow up and realize that there was nothing to be afraid of there. Some of our things are irrational. Some people are afraid of color, the color orange, or things that just don't make any sense at all. There's some things that we fear that could happen, such as our house being broken into, right? Depending on what neighborhood we're in, the fear might be more likely to happen. So there's fears that actually could happen, and then there's degrees of it actually becoming a real fear in our lives, right? So there's irrational fears, there's fears that are rational, there's fears that are more likely to happen. And a lot of fear that we have is learned. It's learned because of a traumatic experience in the past, it's learned because of something that we've done or experienced, or we've read about or heard about other people's experiences. And so now we do think we need to be afraid of that happening to us. And I know I'm talking to my mom, she always comes up with a fear for every single thing I say I'm going to do. Well, I read in Reader's Digest one time, and someone did that, and they, you know, lost their limbs, and so be careful, you know. Go away, yeah. But fear basically happens when we feel that we're going to be harmed, right? We feel that something is in danger or someone's in danger of harming us. That's what it boils down to when we think about it. That's what all of our fears come from. I'm in danger. I feel that I'm in danger of being harmed, right? So in order to not be controlled by fear, we need to have something that will give us safety. Something that will give us peace. Someone that we can look up to in faith as an answer to our fears. It might be emotional, it might be physical, it might be spiritual fears that we're afraid of, right? But we need something that will give us a sense of safety and something that is bigger than those fears, or a bigger purpose. Or else what happens is that we live paralyzed, we live in prison, we don't know what to do. We live in fear of what might happen. And we think, well, I can't even face what would happen, you know, if that happened, if I got a car accident, so I'll never drive, because it's just not worth facing. But we find something that's bigger than the fear, you know? It's more important than I actually live my life and make money and give food to my family than I just live in this fear. So we come up with something that's bigger. We can fear a place. We can fear a neighborhood that we live in. We can fear a person, what they might do to us. We can fear a thing, what it might happen, a storm, such as with the case of the disciples. Fear is when something happens, or we think something will happen, that can harm us. And when we're afraid, it often turns us inwardly. Like, we go into self-preservation mode. So let's begin to look at our text here. It's very short, but very packed with a lot of great things for us to learn about fear. First of all, the disciples got into the boat. They followed Jesus. That's why they were there. So often it's easy to think, well, really the goal is just for me to keep safe from danger, right? That's how I'll create my safety. It's just to avoid all those places that are dangerous. So as long as I live in a nice neighborhood and know the right people, do the right things, stay out of the right places, I'll be safe. But Jesus actually tells his disciples to go into this boat, knowing full well what's going to happen. He doesn't tell them, but he knows what's going to happen. And the disciples, the writer Matthew describes this, there's a huge storm, this Greek word seismos, a very powerful storm, this word. So powerful that there are literally waves of water crashing into the boat and swamping the boat. Have you ever been in a storm like that? You've done just a little boat fishing in the lake, even if it starts to get kind of windy, it's scary. But I can't imagine being in a boat where actually waves are so big that they were coming into the boat and filling it with water. Was this a rational fear? This was a rational fear. Could have died. They would have died. So it wasn't just like, Lord, there's a monster in a closet under the boat in the basement. Scary. Oh, this is real. Physical life and death stuff. And so they were afraid. We probably would have done the same thing, honestly, if it was us. And yet, it says Jesus was asleep. So what do they do? They go and try to wake him. See, the more we're threatened with our fears and we're threatened with becoming real, easier that fear can shift to anger, survival mode. Now we think, I got to take this into my own hands. God, you're not getting the job done, so I better go up and do it. How easy that can turn into anger with God. You think they were being nice when they said, save us, Lord, we're perishing. Hey, wake up. We're about to die. excuse me? You think that we're being friendly? Save us, Lord! We're perishing. Don't you care? You not realizing what's happening right now? It's so easy to just get angry with God, isn't it? Turn the other way. We think we have to fix it on our own. That's what we often do. But it says in Isaiah that these coastlands were afraid of what was happening, probably referring to the Persians coming in and starting to build their empire again, take it away from the Babylonians. So the coastlands are afraid of this guy from the east coming in and winning all these victories. What does it say they do? They go to work with their blacksmiths, most likely referring to these idols that they continue to make. They tell each other, don't be afraid, stay strong, we got this. And what does God say? I got this. You need to be looking to me. Fear not, for I am with you. We end up focused on our fears. We end up with a wrong view of God, and so it ends up, we try to fix it on our own, don't we? We try to figure it out. We're afraid of being alone, so we're willing to put up with abusive relationships. We're willing to put up with people we shouldn't be friends with. We're willing to compromise our values so that others will accept us. God, it's not working. When I love the way you want me to love. Afraid of not having enough money, so we hoard stuff. We learn to live with a clenched fist. God, it's not going to work if I'm generous. It's not going to work your way. I have to make sacrifices. We're afraid of failing, so our solution to that is, well, I just won't take any risks. I'll just stay on the shore where it's nice and calm and where I have a quick out to my house if I need to. Yeah, there's a lot of ways we try to fix our fears. We're fear of pain, so we run to our favorite addiction, favorite sin, to make us feel better temporarily. But it doesn't help. There's only one who helps. There's only one who can really be the answer to all of our fears. That's Jesus Christ. Jesus is patient with his disciples through all of this fear. But he rebukes them and says, why are you afraid, O you of little faith? See, when they're focused on fear, when they're focused on what's happening, what they're afraid of, what are they not focused on? And it's like you get to have spiritual amnesia, don't you? These disciples, they had been with Jesus. This is the middle of the book of Matthew here. They've already been with Jesus. They've seen him heal all kinds of diseases. They've seen him cleanse lepers. They saw him cast out demons. What were they thinking right at that moment? He doesn't care. He's not there. He's not powerful. Who is this? They weren't remembering all the stuff he did and who he had said he was. So we can create this kind of amnesia when we're so focused on our fear. We have a small view of God. Now he's just this person on a boat who's asleep, who's supposed to help them. God, aren't you bigger than that? Why is this happening to me? It's not the problem with him. The problem is with ourselves, isn't it? Jesus doesn't get up and say, oh, you're right. Wow, you're really right. Thanks for waking me up. That is a terrible storm. I'm going to get on that, and we need to do something about this. Not what he says. He says, believe in me. Trust in me. I've been with you this whole time. I haven't left you. And that's what it says in Isaiah. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And what does Jesus do for his disciples? He rises and rebukes the winds and the sea. There's a great calm. He teaches them who's really the one in power. They were afraid of the wind and the waves, but they had someone with them that was stronger than the wind and the waves, who commanded them like they were his lapdog, something like that. Hey, stop barking. Shh, be quiet. That's all you had to do. And so their fear was shifted from the wind and the waves to the Lord. Who is this? It speaks, and even the wind and the waves obey him. Who is this? Sometimes, as we face our fears, we need to learn that there's a greater fear instead of that other fear. We might be afraid of going to work, but we're probably more afraid of not having enough money, going hungry. Might be afraid of going to school, probably more afraid of not graduating. Might be afraid of doing something, but more afraid of the opportunity we'd miss. But yet here it is with God teaching us that what we are to fear, the only real thing that is the biggest fear, is of his power. He is the one we're to fear, right? First commandment, we should fear and love God above all things. Shall have no other gods. That's what it means. It's that he's really the one to fear, right? And too often we just focus on that temporal thing and what's happening to us physically or in here and now. But we forget about eternally. The only answer to that fear of eternal life and death comes through Jesus Christ. He's the only one who can answer that. He's the only one who will be our judge on the last day and whose words we have to care about. He's the only one who holds the gates of paradise and those keys of death and Hades. The only one who can conquer the grave. We get focused on the here and now, but the fear of the Lord puts our mind in the right place. So much that even Timothy would be encouraged by Paul that, hey, don't worry about what's happening in the here and the now, the pain you're going through as you suffer for the gospel. Remember, Jesus did not give us a spirit of fear, but a power of love, self-control. Spirit that the disciples could have listened to, so that even if they were in this torrential storm, they would not need to be afraid. There are a lot of fears, but the fear of the Lord is the only one that really matters. And yet, with as powerful and as mighty as God is, he still comes down to us. He shows this incredible love to us in spite of all of our doubts and worries and trying to fix life on our own and our own problems. He comes down and he dies for us and suffers and dies for our sins in our place. Why? To answer our fears. So that we know I am with you. I have abolished death and brought life and light and immortality through the gospel. And it's through that answer to our fears that we're able to go and face anything else. Because anything else that can happen is only going to be temporary, right? It's only going to be a brief moment of pain compared to the grand scheme of things. We know that through Jesus Christ and because of what he's done, he's given us eternal life that can't be taken away. Why? Because he is the top dog. He's the big kid on the block that no one wants to mess with. Isn't that great to know someone with you who is stronger than everybody else, who's got your back, who's not on still confidence with you? That's what the disciples forgot. The one who was with them was one bigger than the winds and waves, one bigger than all their fears, one bigger than death and devil and hell itself. See, there's some things we might be able to take on our own. Some fears, we might be afraid of driving, so we go out in the car and do it. We might be afraid of heights, so we go up and go skydiving, and I did that before. Might be afraid of, losing money, so we learn to manage our money better. But then there comes a point in our lives when we're faced with fears that are beyond our control, beyond our ability to fix. And what will we do? We look to the Lord. Look to the Lord. The one who's bigger than them all. The one who's given us the answer to them all by singing that I am with you. It's not about what's happening out there. It's about what's happening in here. You know I am with you. You'll be able to go out there. You'll be able to face your fears. You'll be able to live as confident children of God. Because you'll know that I am the Lord. There is no other. See, fear says something or someone can harm me, or I feel that's going to happen. So I need to fight or flee. But faith says, Jesus is my security. Jesus keeps me eternally safe. Jesus is bigger than all of my fears. Because of his death and resurrection, I am safe. So my brothers and sisters, as we go forward today, and God teaches you where you're fearing, tell yourself you have someone with you who is bigger, someone with you that has conquered all of those fears already, and who calls you to go out to follow him, because he's with you now and always. And it's in his name, amen. And the peace of God which surpasses all human understanding will guard and keep your hearts and minds firmly in Christ Jesus. Amen.